Toya.
Greater works 2020 comes to Germany. Join me from everywhere, any part of Europe, Belgium, you live in Holland, anywhere in Paris. Make your way down to Germany as we converge in Munich for 2 days of mind-blowing manifestation. There will be the release of the prophetic. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak.
On the 14th and 15th January 2020 by 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. GMT plus 1 at Backstage Concert Arena, Rignischstrasse 6, 80639, Munich, Germany.
And above all, the sinners will be saved. Tell someone to tell someone that Jonathan Suleiman is coming to you. God bless you.
Toby, yeah.
Hey,
so that we pay, I will tell
Your faith.
Hey, for my faith.
What is happening for your faith?
Hey.
the children of God.
Aha!
Me cuebe.
Rabba, 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 if you don't choose that word in your life, give the Lord a big shout. Jehovah reigns. I said Jehovah reigns. Jehovah reigns. You are lifted up. You are lifted up. You are lifted up. Babo, babo, you are lifted up. Where you are lifted up. Since I was born, and now I am getting old. Carigo, carigo, pack your blessing, carigo.
Carigo, carigo,
pack your blessing,
carigo.
Woo! Pack up, pack up, pack up, pack up, pack up. Carigo, carigo, pack your blessing, carigo.
Carigo, carigo, pack your blessing, carigo.
Hallelujah, we serve a very big God.
Oh, hallelujah, we serve a very big God.
Oh, hallelujah, we serve a very big God.
Oh, hallelujah,
we serve a very big God.
Oh, hallelujah,
we serve a very big God. Your God is good. Oh, hey, your God is kind. Your God is kind. Your God is so good. When I look to my front, I look to my back, I look to my right, I look to my left. When I look to my front, I look to my right, I look everywhere, I look to my back. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. My life, hey! Goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Haka, 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 haka,
haka, haka, haka,
haka, haka, haka, haka, haka, haka, haka, haka, haka,
Chidekedu,
Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chidekedu, Chid You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. Imaramarama. You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. You are Yahweh, Akamaramai. When we want to see this song, you need to look for a partner. You need to look for a partner. Ye kelekele. Ye kelekele. Ye kelekele. Ye kelekele. Ye kelekele. He is a glory be to God in the higher. I say glory be to the Lord in the higher. Somebody shout. Just wave your hands towards heaven. Just wave your hands. Let's go worship God. Hallelujah. Shukune mema. Hallelujah. Jaya kema. Ajane kema nu. Igwe, only you are God. Igwe, only you are God. Igwe, only you are God. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can do better than that. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. I just want you to prophesy to somebody by your side and tell them, neighbor, you are not living the same way you came tonight. God is turning your story around for good. Hallelujah.
You give a victory. Thank you.
Celebrate Jesus in this house. How many of you are happy for what God has been doing since the beginning of this conference? Can we give God a shout of hallelujah? I want to specially celebrate God for tonight. Our Father in the Lord, let's give God glory for Him. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, in furtherance of the gospel, we have to be ordained tonight 29 persons. We have 19 pastors, 5 assistant pastors, 2 deaconesses, 1 deacon, and 2 elders. Hallelujah. So I haven't gone through the process to this ordination. I want to officially present to you as the presiding priest over this house for approval for the continuation of this ordination, sir.
I accept.
Let's give God praise. Please, if you hear your name, you just come forward quickly. Praise the Lord. For the pastors, let's welcome Sister Doris Dorcas Kumba. Let's welcome Celestine Michael. Let's welcome Mary Ijoma Ada Okoli. Let's welcome Prince Oziowulu Okoli. Rama Akani. Dine Bari Damambe. Thomas Ohunyo. Eliana T. Sela Lady. Eliana. Janet Nkechi Imewahim. Osaigbovo Joseph Eyangbo. Bosco Tansi. Sally Iyobebe. Baribuma Jude Leko. Peter Ogiegbunem Oponem. Emmanuel Ezi. Ifine Daniels. Chika Choma Daniels. David Adegbe. Abigail Modi. Hallelujah. Abigail Modi. Face the altar, please.
Amen. Before we call up the assistants, praise the Lord. When you are ordained, we need to understand the significance of ordination. Ordination is a physical attestation to a spiritual call. One of the problems we have today is that many people have started running a race without any approval. And at the end of the day, you end up running in vain. I'm saying this to you, as we had to ordain over 300 pastors in December, and I told them four things. Number one, I'm ordaining you by the Spirit of God, and when you become rebellious, I would disordain you. I want you to know that. Ordination is not for life. When you become rebellious or you become arrogant, the higher you go in the kingdom, the more humble you should become. When I see people who are great, the first thing I look for is humility. Arrogance and pride stinks. When you see people who are arrogant and proud, you just get put off. You need to know that this is serious. Number two, ordination is a call to devotion. If you were loyal before, now it has to be without spot, without blemish. Number three, you need to understand what this work stands for and begin to run with it. Because now that this anointing of God has come upon you, there are certain things that will just happen naturally. You won't have to struggle. Why? Because now is there is a seal. The same unction, the same grace, the same impartation will take place in your life. And number four, don't you ever forget this. At the end of this whole thing on earth, heaven. Heaven is important. You need to have that at the back of your mind. Go on your knees. Let me pray with you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. I'm an head of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
Lesson, this is my story.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Lord, thank you. I set you apart for this work of the ministry, and I speak a seal over your life in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I set you apart for this work of the ministry, and I put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I set you apart for the work of the ministry and put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry and put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry and put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry and put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry and put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Blessed assurance,
the work of the ministry, and put Jesus a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I set you apart for the work of the ministry, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry, put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry, put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry. Put a seal over you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for the work of the ministry.
This is my story. This is my story.
Lord, I bring them before you. I ask you will keep them. As adamant is harder than flint, make their forehead harder than that of the enemies. You will not lose strength. You will not lose vision. You will not lose capacity. You will not outlive your relevance. I decree you will make impact in life. The hand of the Lord will be upon you and will keep you. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor Peter Opone. Are you? Aaron. Pastor Eliana Selaledi. Pastor Mary Ijoma Okoli. Pastor Prince Ozonwulu Okoli. Pastor Abigail Modi. Pastor Chika Choma Daniels. Abigail. Pastor Chika. Pastor Ifine Daniels. Pastor Dinebari Damabe. Pastor Janet Ikechi Emewu Wahi. Pastor Saigbovo Joseph. Pastor Bosco Tansi. Pastor Sally Iyo Bebe. Pastor Emmanuel Ezi. Pastor Doris Dorcas. Pastor Celestine Michael. Pastor Rama Akani. Pastor Baribuma Jude Leko. Pastor Thomas Ohiwo. Pastor David Edegbe. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Let's receive for the ordination the assistant pastors. Martha Smith. Juliana Okoro. Lokeye Lilian Bukwe. Walter Claude Mitchell. Joshua Okilua. Joshua Okilua.
Amen. Why are you facing the crowd? Face the altar. Can you go on your knees? You heard what I told the pastors when they were being ordained. Amen. Were you called? Amen. Father, we speak grace upon you. Of course, we know what a lawyer assistant does. You know, there are... Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give what's your own? The assistant pastor stands in the gap to protect the pastor, not to become a rival to the pastor. To defend, when somebody walks up to you and says, can you imagine what pastor did, what pastor, you are supposed to give a proper picture. Not to say, that's the problem in this ministry. See, that's the problem we have in this ministry. If they made me pastor, I would have done it better. That's the spirit of Absalom. See, rebellious spirit. So you see, we don't understand. That's why with this prophetic thing, we have to be careful so that I can be picking the right people to ordain. Once you're an assistant pastor, you need to make up, not cover up. There's a difference between covering up evil and making up for excesses. No matter how anointed you are still a man. There could be some excesses. The pastor could scream, could react. You don't capitalize on his weakness to build your case. So now you're an assistant. As a matter of fact, you have a serious responsibility. The assistant pastor is like the image maker. It's like the image maker of the ministry. The Lord will help you. His face will shine upon you. We'll set you apart for this new level of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We set you apart for this work of the ministry in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We set you apart for this work of the ministry in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for this work of the ministry the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Set you apart for this work of the ministry. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is well with you. Bless you.
Purpose are to be ordained in elder, deacon, and deaconess position. God bless you. Pick it. Your certificate from the office, except because of time.
Yeah, let's. They'll give them the certificate later. Let's just be fast.
Yes, sir. Let's welcome Sivaline Chukwura.
Ordained as what?
Sivaline. Elder.
Okay.
Sivaline Chukwura. Uwonche Samuel.
Elder indeed.
As deacon, let's welcome Ugu Ikechukwu. Deaconess Joyce Bandele. Uche Rodriguez. Let's celebrate God.
What do you call the last name?
Uche
Rodriguez. Rodriguez.
Okay.
Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Give me the certificates later. Testimony. Oh, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I want to talk to you for just 1 minute on what your assignment is. Ordination is not a certification for confusion. Ordination is an assignment. Now, when you become an elder or a deacon, you are not the father or the mother of the pastor. We need to correct that. Because most people say, no, I'm an elder. When we say elder, we are not placing you above the pastor. There is no boy of God in the Bible. There's only man of God. You must understand that the pastor is your spiritual father. My father gave birth to me biologically, but today I'm his spiritual father. He's ordained as an elder in our church. I father him. In church, when he wants to talk, I say, no, you are my son. Don't. So you are my son, so sit. He say, okay, sir. When he wants to speak, he stands up. He say, you know, as our father. I say, yes, say it. But when we get out, I go down. I greet him. But when we get in, it's a different ball game. So what you do is, you are almost like the assistant pastor, but you're doing it now in a more unifying way. The assistant pastor may not be able to communicate some things to the pastor, but you, in your wisdom, have to be able to communicate this and this. And I think if we do this, you don't give laws, you give suggestions. I think if we do this, pastor, and he has a right to reject. And that is why sometimes I tell elders, before you go and talk to a pastor, pray. Talk to God. When you are talking, you seem to say, oh my God, God is talking to you. I have somebody like that, she's 79. Before she talks to me, she will pray. When she starts talking, I'm like, mommy, wait. Come, I take a pen. I say, that thing, say it again. She will repeat it. You know, I mean, before I walk through the crowd, people would jump on me, hold my trousers, hold my leg. Man of God, speak a word. I'm very meek. I'm compassionate. I'm like, she now said, stop it. He said, because I had a revelation. Somebody had explosives on her. And John rushed and held you and it blew the whole place. I could have been arrogant. But it hit my spirit. I said, oh. Because my wife just said something like that the previous Sunday. Amen. And you know, when my wife said it, I was laughing. She said, why are you laughing? Because I saw a young girl who ran and held my leg. I told my wife, you are just being a woman. What? She was holding. He said, my husband, no. I said, but when the man came out and held my leg, you didn't talk. Now this lady came out, you are just being a woman. So it was a confirmation. But she prayed. and the Lord will give you wisdom. One time, the gift of God was so much in the church. The gift of God was so much in Acts chapter 6. Miracles were happening. Things were happening. They were getting distracted. They said, please, let's get deacons and elders. Let them minister to the people. When people are no more in church, people leave church. It's not the duty of the pastor. It's the duty of the elders and the deacons to start calling, to start asking, what is going on? We don't see you. And they say, okay, tell me. By the time they say, no problem, we'll handle it. Come back to church. It's not the duty of the pastor. It's the duty of the elders. Kneel down. And God is going to help you. We need to correct some of these things so that we know what our assignments are. The reason people give problems to pastors is that they don't know their assignment. So they give problems. But these ones, the Lord will empower them. The Lord will keep you. He will give you strange wisdom. I decree, O God, that the wisdom of the ancient will rest upon him. He set you apart for this work and assignment in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Uncommon wisdom, uncommon creativity. Set you apart for this work of the ministry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We decree uncommon creativity, wisdom. We set you apart for the work of the ministry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We decree, O God, ideas, wisdom, illumination. We set you apart for this work of the ministry in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We decree great grace, great capacity, wisdom. We set you apart for this work of the ministry in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is well with you. Congratulations. God bless you. Your certificates will be presented to you.
Somebody shall testify. Say it like you mean it. Shall testify. Let's make welcome Brother Divine Nick. Brother Divine Nick. Let's welcome Pastor Peter Opone. Let's welcome Elder Samuel Unwonche. Let's celebrate God as they come. Hallelujah. Your names and what God has done for you.
So I'm just testifying of the fulfillment of a prophetic word that was given in a dream less than 3 months ago. I was in Accra, Ghana, ministering, and a woman of God came up to me and said that I needed to meet this man of God from Nigeria named Apostle Suleiman. And the Lord started giving me dreams that I was standing in front of him, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, this man has something on his life that he's going to impart into your life for your destiny. And I came back from Ghana and I live in California in the mountains, and I was like, Lord, are you going to send me to Nigeria to meet this man? Because I know you spoke to me and I know it's going to come to pass. And then the Lord brought the man of God from Nigeria to my home state. This was less than 3 months ago, and it was fulfilled last night when he called me up and laid his hand on me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Papa will often say to us that God is not an author of confusion. When he speaks, he confirms. He had an encounter in Ghana, brought him back. The same God brought Papa to California. And the same God spoke to Papa last night and located him by prophecy, impacting him for ministry. Let's give God glory. Congratulations. We want to specially celebrate God for this wonderful family. This baby is a product of an encounter with grace. First, it looks like it's impossible for the baby to come. Grace located his family and she got pregnant. In the process of her pregnancy, they said that the baby was going to be down with syndrome. Down syndrome. So, but by this same grace, The baby was handled, and today she has given birth to the baby and no trace. Let's give God the glory. God bless you. Your names and what God has done.
Peter is my name, Pastor OFM Tallahassee. Greater glory. Sometime in November, my brother-in-law was driving from Georgia to Tallahassee to see us.
He had a problem and was arrested and sent to jail. Take it up from there.
And then I was going to see him in jail. I took anointing oil from Papa, my wife from Nigeria, and Awuchi sand.
He asked the wife to bring sand from Awuchi. So while he was going to see the brother in jail, what did you do with the sand?
I got to the road where they were holding him. The name of the place is James Holder. And the name of the guy is James. So I brought Awuchi sand and put on the signboard there. I said, James Holder, release James. Hallelujah. And somebody billed for deportation December 31st was released on December 15th to the glory of God.
Come and celebrate God in this house. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. I've taken so much time. Matthew 25. I just want us to do this fast because we are reading quite a long scripture. Matthew 25, we'll do from verse 15. I'll read 15, you read 16. We'll do that till we get to 28. Matthew 25. I'll start from verse 15. So when I do one verse, you do the next one. We'll get to verse 28. We'll do it together. Have we seen Matthew 25? Yes. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Read verse 16. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Read verse 26. Thou wottest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Talent from him and gift. Let's do verse 30 together. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to minister briefly on the profitable Christian. I want to talk to Christians tonight. The
profitable believer, the profitable Christian, every one of us who have totally received Jesus in our life has a deposit. There is something inside of us. God has deposited something in our lives. And God wants that deposit in you to increase. In Psalm 71 verse 21, the Bible says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, "Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." In Psalm 115 verse 14, the Bible says, "God shall increase us more and more." In 1 Thessalonians 4:10, "He shall increase us more and more." In Zechariah chapter 10, if you read verse 8, the Bible says, "They shall increase even as they have increased." In Proverbs 3:9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy first fruit and the substance of all thy increase." God wants us to increase. In Exodus chapter 1, if you read verse 7, the Bible says, "And Israel increased." The children of Israel. God wants us to increase. The plan and the purpose of God for your life is that you should increase from one level of glory to another level of glory. It doesn't matter the level you are now. Job 8 verse 7. He said, "Though thy beginning was small, thy latter end should." In Luke chapter 2, if you read verse 52, speaking of Jesus, he said, "And Jesus increased." I make a decree upon your life. As you hear the sound of my voice, I see increase coming upon your life. Take your seat. Now, the place you read, the Bible says that a master gave talents to everybody. Write this down. God is fair and just. God is fair and just. Everybody carries something. No matter what you're experiencing in your life, there is a deposit. There is a content inside of you. No matter the pains of your life, you've got to discover that there is something inside of you that you need to develop and you need to bring out so you can take your world by storm. But this is it. He gave some 5. He gave some 2. And he gave 1. Why? I wasn't happy. What have I done that you gave me 2 and you gave somebody 5? Why? If you are fair and just, what have I done that you gave me 1? You gave this man 5. You go further. He said, according to their ability. Let me say this. There are some people that can never be millionaires till they die. No matter how many hard work they do, they can never be rich. You know why? Ability. They have no capacity. Just $10,000, $20,000, they are arrogant. So God says, stay there. Ability, capacity. There are pastors, even if they fast till next year, they can't get an attendance that's over 100 or 200. Why? Because they have a capacity problem. They have ability problem. They can't even manage 50 people. Just 60, 70, and there is crisis everywhere. Just 100 people, and they are fighting and bickering among themselves because their leader doesn't have capacity, doesn't have ability. So when you see somebody in front of you, don't be envious of the person. You must understand the person has got a capacity and ability that you don't have. God is fair and just. If somebody is ahead of you, don't be envious of them. You need to learn capacity and ability from them so that you can also move with speed. You need capacity. You need ability. capacity is the problem. There are people that can't manage anything. They can't even manage themselves. They can't even manage themselves. Not everyone, you know. And that's the problem we have around the nations of the world. Somebody has got a call into ministry. Somebody has got a call into the work of the Lord. Somebody has got an evangelistic, pastoral, apostolic, prophetic, or teaching grace. And the person doesn't have a mentor. Nobody instructs you. Nobody talks to you. Nobody gives you guidance. Nobody tells you what to do. So we see the rise of many and they crash. There are people I've had to tell. Because you did this and that, you are going up the pulpit for 6 months. Build yourself. I saw a young man in the plane and I said, who is your father in the Lord? He said, God. I said, who is your mentor? He said, the Holy Spirit. I said, you have failed. The Holy Spirit is your mentor? I said, the Holy Spirit can't be your mentor. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's your guide. He's not your mentor. So you discover that these people have got a capacity problem. Am I speaking to somebody here? When you see your friend and you see somebody who is married to a wealthy man, very wealthy, and you are married to somebody that is not as wealthy as that person, God is fair and just. God knows that despite the wealth of the husband, she will not be moved. She will still go on her knees to pray. She will still go on her knees to fast. Despite how blessed the husband is, how wealthy the husband is, how come your husband is not so wealthy? God knows. If he had given you a rich man, there would have been problems both in heaven and on earth. So what God did, he gave you a man who is just there. He's just there. He's not broke. He's not rich. He's just there. So you can maintain your sanity. God is wiser than man. He understands the capacity problem. No matter how you fast and pray, no matter, you know, some women actually, is their capacity that's hindering the lifting of their husband. God knows that if there is more money, and the same thing with some men, God knows this man sleeps in church. He prays, he fasts. He's looking for breakthrough. God said, this one, if I give him money, I will lose him and lose my investment. So stay here. So no matter how the man fast and pray, because God knows a little blessing becomes arrogant. Becomes arrogant. Capacity is a problem. And that is why some people cannot run a great ministry. Some can't even run a great home. Because they have a problem with arrogance. They have a problem with pride. They lack temperance. They lack long suffering. All of these fruits. What is capacity? The manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. Capacity is the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness, long suffering, temperance, faith. You have all of these inside of you. God knows that if he gives you a lifting, there's going to be a problem. So what God does, why are you still in the level you are now? God is working on your capacity. The Lord told me, say, one of the reasons Judas betrayed Christ was when Jesus was washing the feet of everyone, Judas wasn't there. Your feet speaks of your steps, speaks of your future. If Jesus had washed his feet, he would have washed off that agenda. But Judas was not available. He never went through the feet washing. Am I speaking to somebody right now? You must understand the place of God. So if you understand this, don't be envious of nobody. They're in front of you because there's a capacity they have. Well, some years ago, I saw the wealthiest black man on planet Earth. You know who the man is? He's a Nigerian. We are talking, and I saw the phone he was using. Very old. Very old phone. So I said, sir, why this phone? He said, Apostle, is it not to pick call and cut call? And I said, but you need a better phone. He said, and that money, I can put it in my sugar project. In that, this. You see, it's thinking investment. You are thinking luxury. Some of you have got the latest iPhone 11 Pro Max. And yet you don't have a dollar in your account. Capacity is your problem. When a new phone comes out, you want your husband is under pressure. You are not smiling. When he comes up at home, you are still frowning. You say, right, my iPhone 11 Pro Max.
after month. Say, we need to pay bills. We need to pay rent. I understand. Rent or no rent. My iPhone 11 Pro Max. I'm not against it. If you have the money for it, it's fine. But you must understand the place of priority. I'm not against good things. If God has blessed you, use good things. But you must understand, even without these things, you will survive.
Someone sent me a message before I came up here. What was the message? He said, my wife wouldn't talk to me for the past 2 days. You know, you are the only one she listens to. So please help me. So I reached out to her. I said, what's going on? You are not talking to your husband. He said, he's a wicked man. I said, why? He said, I told him to get me something. And he refused. And I said, what is it? He said, can I send it to you? She sent it. I screamed. I said, even me, I refuse. She said, focus. Eat out of this. Guess what? The first one was a Porsche Cayenne. The second was Aston Martin. The third was a Lamborghini. The fourth was a Bentley. I said, you are wicked. You are wicked. You are wicked. You are wicked. I said, why are you doing this? She said, they're not that expensive now. By then she did the amount and I converted it. The list was $300,000. The list was $300,000. I said, you want to kill this man? So I called him up. I said, son, your wife just told me why she's angry. He said, yes, dad, have you seen it? I said, for the first time. Please, can we allow extend this anger for a long time? Because it is now, we have no remedy to this situation. So she has to be angry for long. You don't do that because you know this man can't afford it. You want to kill him? You have a capacity problem. Now, if you are doing this when there is nothing, imagine what she would have done when there was abundance. Capacity. As a pastor, capacity. As a pastor's wife, there is a special anointing to marry a pastor. It's a calling. That you become like the carpet people walk on. People will insult you. They will say things against you. You will keep quiet. There are some things I hear. I want to tell my wife. I think she has not heard. But I say, I heard it. I say, you heard? He said, yes. I said, you are quiet. He said, of course. Is it me? That's not me. That's their opinion. That's their idea. This is why I will not bother myself by it. They are my children. Children say things. I'm not going to get angry because my children are saying things. No, they are my children. They will always say things. So when they are finished being stupid, they will come back to their mother. So I'll talk to them. I'm trying to explain so that this envy will stop. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. If you want a grace upon your life that is massive, you've got to walk on what? On what? The place where we read, he gave gift to every one of them. 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 But look at this. One of them actually did not like the Lord and the Master. He spoke, but guess what? Five were in support of what he did. Two were in support of what the Master did. Only one was against it. Write this down. Those that love you are more than those who hate you. Those who love you are more than those. Stop focusing on haters. Focus on those who care about you. Stop focusing on people who tell you you can't succeed, who tell you you cannot rise, who tell you you cannot make it. And listen to that voice that tells you that there is a future ahead of you. Listen to that voice that tells you that you can take your world by storm. Listen to that voice that tells you that you are unstoppable. Stop focusing on haters. Stop bothering about what they think or what they say. It's their mere opinion. Listen to me. If their opinion means nothing to you, their hatred should not bother you. If their opinion means nothing to you, their hatred should not bother you. I'd like you to understand that those who love you, those who care about you, those who admire God's grace upon you are more than those who talk you down. Am I speaking to somebody right now? He said, whatsoever these things are, whether they be any virtue, whether they be Lord, think on these things. Stop thinking about the things that weigh you down. Stop focusing on the people who bring out your pain and your weakness and make you grieve. Look at the people that talk strength to you, people that talk grace to you, people that speak capacity to you. The Bible says, let your word be seasoned with salt, that it might minister grace to the hearers. Am I talking to somebody right now? Those who love you.
He gave all of them. He gave them talents. He gave to everybody. I'm sure before he gave the man one, he knew who he was. That's why he gave him one. Yet he gave him. Doing good is an obligation, not an expectation. When you do good, it's an obligation, not because you expect anything. Do good to people. Don't expect anything. When you expect nothing, you can't be heartbroken. You are heartbroken because you expected so much. You say, oh, after all, I labored with you, this man, I labored with you. I suffered with you. Now we are in America. You have abandoned me, right? This, my God, will punish you. My God will judge you. No! When you do good for people, you might not reap good from the same person, but good is coming somehow. You don't necessarily harvest from where you invest. You don't necessarily harvest from where you invest. It's an obligation keeping good. If people change your good nature, it means they've succeeded. That's what they wanted. If they change your good nature, say, no, you know what now? From now, I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to talk to people. I'm going to be on my own. They're changing you. You are letting them change you. This is not who you are. Keep being yourself. That you met the wrong people doesn't mean you are a bad person. You just met the wrong people. You just met people that didn't deserve you. You just met people that didn't know what they carried. Keep being you. Don't change. Don't change. Keep being good. Keep being nice. God is going to connect you to people who would appreciate the grace of God in your life. God is going to connect you to people who will appreciate the talent that you have. God is going to connect you to people who will see you as a prized possession, as a treasured content. Somebody will look at you and say, you are a blessing to my life. You are a blessing to my family. If not you, I wouldn't have gotten the kind of peace that I have. I thank God you came along the way. God is about to bring your way people that will value you, people that will place premium on your life. God is about to bring your way people. Shakabaya namakose. And that's the problem. Don't let the Lord said to me, stop all this trying to adjust. You know? Say, no, from now I have to be careful. I have to be careful. No, be yourself. Yes, you met wrong people. Yes, don't let them redefine you. Yes, don't let them remake you. Don't let them change you from who you are. Yes, look at this new character you have adopted. That's not you. You are trying to be this new person. Yes, See, when I'm with people this time, I'm not talking anymore. I wish I was talking to somebody here. I know what I went through the other time. I've learned. Be yourself. Be yourself. The wrong person came your way so you can value the right person when you see them. You know, when somebody looks at you and says, you are a blessing to me, you are a gift to me, you won't know how important that is until somebody has looked at you and treated you trashy and felt you are a nobody and felt you are useless, you are empty. Do you know when I started, let me tell you something. When I started preaching the gospel, I would preach one message, give over 20 scriptures, 40 scriptures. I stopped at a point. Do you know why? People started insulting me. Say, look at that one. He will just stand up, be quoting scripture like a parrot. So, you'll be quoting scripture like parrots, as if he has concordance in his head. Are we here for memory verse? It discouraged me for a long while. I left. I was not just preaching normal. I'll give one or two, three, four scriptures. I left for more than 10 years until God brought a man in October 2018, and an old man appeared and he said, go for scriptures. Do you know 90% of those around our ministry now celebrate it?
I know people who have read the Bible back to back. A woman, I've forgotten the country, was it Tulsa? No. Boston. Was it Boston? No, somewhere when? Not Boston, there's a place, Oregon. And she said the husband is arrogant, proud. He has no regard for pastors. So one time, she went on YouTube and both of them sat down and I came up and I was saying something. The man was interested, but he was hearing. One scripture came, two, three, four, five. The man said, "Who is this one?" 6, 7, 8, 9. Said the man, he took the phone from the door. I said, "Give me the phone." He sat down. He said, he listened to me. I started crying. He said, "This is a man of God." He said, "This is a man." Can I shock you? The wife said to me, "Say, my husband has a Bible in the restroom, toilet. He has a Bible in the car. He has a Bible in the office. He has a Bible." He said, he has read and read. Am I speaking to somebody here? Why? What someone else criticized me over is not what someone else is celebrating. So you do not allow one man's opinion become the conclusion of who you are. No, you can't define me. You don't know me. You don't know me. That you don't like me doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh my God, God has put this content inside of me. The reason God made and configured you like that is for people like you, so that when you meet them, you can compliment. When you remake yourself, you meet nobody, because you were not created and configured to be this new you that you have now adopted.
I wish I was talking here.
So this is who you are. Always appreciate who you are. You are somebody who cannot keep quiet. And someone else is saying, it's good to be silent. Please, advertise your own self. Say, naturally, it's good to talk. Because that's who you are. That's who...
You don't understand. Okay, let me show you something.
Joseph one time had interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "Who can we find? You have said we need a man who will be able to manage the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of scarcity. You have interpreted the dream. Joseph, you have interpreted the dream. How can we find such a man?" Joseph said, "It's very important. Look for a man that is discreet and wise." He was talking of himself. A man that is discreet. Discreet means a man that is secretive. A man that can even see the king naked and keep quiet. A man that is discreet and wise. When he was to interpret the dream for Pharaoh, he sent everybody out. He said, "I want to talk to you alone." Pharaoh saw secrecy. When he began to interpret the dream, he saw wisdom. So when he said, "One that is discreet and wise," Pharaoh said, "Who else but you? Who else but you?" He was actually talking about himself. I like what they said in Nigeria. Sell your market. You have to sell your market. Am I talking to somebody here? You need to advertise and announce what you carry. Don't say what you are not. You are believing God to settle down and you are saying, you're telling your brother, it's good for a lady to cook well. And you can't cook. It's good for a lady to be a good cook. A lady has to be a good cook. And you can't cook. You are not selling your market. You can't cook. Say what you can do. So that when God speaks to him and is you, he knows what to expect. Am I talking to somebody right now? To be profitable. Number one, understand service. Everyone that God has put something on their life, God puts everything, a deposit in you. The reason the Lord God put that in you is for service. Not to become arrogant or proud. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. He said, "What make you different from another man? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you act like you didn't receive it?" Service. In Job chapter 36 verse 11, "If they shall obey and serve me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure." Tell somebody, service. I can't hear you. He said, for service. The reason why he gave them the talent is for service. For service. You've got to understand. In John, I think 12, verse 26. The Bible says, "If any man love me," John 12, 26. He said, "He shall follow me. He shall serve me. And him will my Father honor." Joshua was speaking in Joshua 24, 15. He said, "Choose you this day who you will serve."
As for me, sir,
carry that mentality. You are not gifted or talented to be bossy. You are talented and gifted to serve. Someone said to me, how come every year I see you, Apostle, you look younger? I say, I'm in the place of my office. I'm in the place of my office. Not a strand of gray hair. And I've seen all my boys in school. Boys, I mean, 5 years older, 10 years older, all of them carrying, you know, all kinds of stuff and all that. And I was talking to one of them. I said, why do you have all this stuff? He said, you know my age. I said, shut up. Who's your age? Don't I know you? He said, you know, I'm growing old. I said, come, keep quiet there. What all of this? I'm in the place of my office. I'm in the place of my assignment. I'm in the place of what God has called me to do. So there is grace that preserved me. Service. He gave them talent to serve. So number one, service is a proof of gratitude. A sign that you are grateful for being selected is that you are serving. Not, oh Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, I'm grateful. Show that you are grateful. It is service. It is service. You've got to serve. When serving, sir, you have got to spend your money. When serving, you've got to spend your phone, spend your time. You have to serve. You understand that this is an expression to say, God, I am grateful. It's not convenient to travel down to Oakland, California, but I bought my ticket because there is a role I need to play as an usher or as a singer or as a cameraman. Lord, I am grateful. I am serving God. I'm in the place of my assignment. I'm in the place of my office. So there is grace for preservation. There is grace to protect me. I'm in the place where God has called me to be. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Sometimes when you want to really serve, you have to go out of your way. You've got to pay an extra price. You have to stretch yourself at times so that you can serve effectively. Tell somebody, serve. Say, serve. Say, serve. Say, serve. Say, serve.
You want to be profitable, you need to start serving. I see a lot of people are waiting for a microphone to preach the gospel. No, sir. Preach the gospel in your house. Preach the gospel to your friend. Preach the gospel to your colleagues. Preach the gospel to somebody on the street. I started preaching on the street with a megaphone. Preach on the street. I'll pray around out you. Then I'll come to Pastor Ben's house. I'll tell him I'm coming. I've known him for about 20-something years. I've known him even before Omega began. Only a wicked man forgets the past. I've known him. He housed me. I will come then when I want to pray. I will come to his house. I will stay in his house. I will stay in his house for a while. We will stay there, pray, pray, pray. And he will pray with me. When he's tired, he will go and sleep. Just enter the room, say, you know, you just keep praying. Amen.
Well, pray round. Pray, 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 pray. There's a time I was praying around the city for 40 days. Praying, 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 praying. And I hear people in the town say, don't you know that young man, that young pastor? But I always talk to himself. He's always talking to himself. See, don't mean that pastor, that's mad. That pastor is mad. See, really, see, yes, he's walking. On the road. You don't know him. Say, oh, yeah, yeah, that pastor. That's always looking at, shaking his head when he's walking. All kinds of funny description. But today, some of those people are either in the women's department, some are in the ushers and all that. So they are doing what I was doing. So, now, I see them also. I thought years ago you said I was shaking my head. But now come, you guys are also shaking your head. They say, now we understand what you were doing.
Serve!
You want to take nations? Take community first. You want to take nations? Take your suburbs. Serve! Too many pastors and preachers and leaders and believers don't want to serve. This is where we have a problem. Everybody wants to be a leader. Who will be led? Who will be led? And this year we need to place priorities. In that department, as the leader of the choir, the leader of the protocol, the ushery, serve. You are the chief servant. You are the chief servant. You are the chief servant. I started waiting on the Lord in December, and somebody said to me, "Sir, I thought it's January 2nd we are starting." I said, "No, I am the leader. I won't start when you start. I have to start before you start. So I have to start weeks before you start. And when you stop February 10th, I have to continue. I have to continue." So understand the place of service. Number two, Luke chapter 4. If you read from verse 18, I'll come to that. I'll come to Luke 14, 18. But before then, number two, if you must be profitable, destroy the spirit of excuses. When the man said, sir, actually, the problem is that this is the reason. No! Turn your excuses to uses. In Luke chapter 14, verse 18, a man organized a dinner. When it was time, Luke 14, 18, when it was time for the banquet was ready, it's time for the people to come over to the dinner. The Bible says, and each of them made excuse. They didn't give, they made, they created it. They created it. He said, with one accord, so it was planned. They agreed. What was the first excuse one of them gave? He said, "I've married a wife, please allow me to go and see her." The other said, "I've bought a piece of land, please let me go and see." The other said, "I have bought a yoke of oxen, let me go and see." All of those excuses were lies. "I have married a wife, let me go and see her." Who marries without seeing? Will you marry a wife without seeing the wife? So that was a lie. That was the first lie. Number two, the other man said, "I bought a piece of land, let me go and see it." And it was around that region. It wasn't in America, the land was in Africa. Around that region, where I come from, we don't just see, we measure to confirm. We measure to confirm. We check the bacon, say, no, this one, no. After the surveyor comes, we see, try, say, okay, how many feet? We measure before we pay. If you have bought a yoke of oxen, let me go and try it. Let me go and try. In other words, I need to check if it's working. If it's in perfect condition, it means you bought something that wasn't working. So these are lies. These are excuses. But the young man will not allow that to discourage him. The young man said to himself, "If you people will not come to the banquet, I will go to the street." Listen to me. There's something I'll tell you that would kill arrogance. Will kill arrogance. God has alternatives. If you mess up, God has a backup. Anytime you get so arrogant, say, "Oh, I'm the one making this happen," God will forget you in a hurry. He will pick some. Elijah got to that point where Elijah said, "I am the only prophet left." And God said, "There are 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal or kiss Astaroth." He said, "So now let me prove to you." He said, "You are going to anoint Elisha. You are going to anoint Isaiah. You are going to anoint Jehu." Anytime you mess up, God has a backup. You've got to be careful not to be arrogant and turn your excuses to uses. You see what this young man, one of the problems we have, and one of the reasons people give excuses is fear. 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 The young man said, "I was afraid. I was afraid." Fear. Fear. So many of us are afraid. We are so scared. We are afraid of tomorrow. In fact, we are afraid of the past. In fact, some people get so afraid. Say, "Why are you scared?" "I don't know. I'm just scared." "Why are you afraid?" "I can't place it." Someone said to me, "Say, Papa, for the past 1 week, I've been anxious." I said, "For what?" He said, "I don't know. This anxiety just comes. It just comes." Some people are worried over nothing. A young lady was going to buy something for someone, and she got somewhere, I think, a supermarket. She was going to a supermarket, and she got stuck on the road. She stood. Cars were coming, and they were screaming, "Leave the way!" She stood like that. Started crying. Someone came out and pulled her and said, "Why are you crying?" "As I was passing, I just had a thought.
what was the thought? He said, I was just thinking, my mom actually sent me on errand to get her something. I was just thinking, for example, I was just passing now and the car just knocked me and I died. Will my mother cry? No car yet. No accident yet. I'm just thinking, does she love me enough that she will cry, or will she just move on with her life? Mothers can be wicked. No car yet. You are not dead yet. You are thinking, what if? Some of us are worried over things that don't make sense. You're worried about a man who you feel is going to walk out of your life. You're worried about a woman who you feel doesn't love you. Please, 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 please. You're not the general overseer of love. If somebody doesn't care about you, let him go. Stop it. You're not the general superintendent of romance affairs. If somebody doesn't care about you, let him go. What is it? Someone told me, say, Apostle, you have to pray. Please pray. Papa, pray. Papa, said, you're not praying. He hasn't called me. He hasn't called me. Papa, pray. He hasn't called me. I said, I don't pray useless prayer. What kind of stupid prayer is that? I should be praying that somebody should call you. Have you answered the call of God? God has been calling you since you were born. You have not answered. My friend, leave me alone. See, Papa, this my matter is serious. So look at the picture. Look at this photograph. Papa, pray, pray. He hasn't called me. I always check my phone. Papa, I believe in your grace. I said, don't believe. Don't believe. If it's on this guy, this one that is confused, God is delivering you from trouble and you are clinging yourself into trouble. God is taking toxic out of your life and yet you are saying you want toxic. Oh, he's an apostle. You don't understand. He's very gentle. There are many gentle devils. You say, you don't understand, apostle. He cannot hurt a fly. You might be the first fly he will hurt. So you have got to be careful and put your acts together. When the good is gone, the best is on the way coming. Am I communicating right now? Am I communicating right now? He said, press forward, forgetting the things which are behind. This is 2020. Let what happened in the past go! Let it go with the past!
I thought they said homiletics. There are some things you don't say, or you present it. So I'm trying to present something, but let me just let it be. Amen. Just be yourself. Don't force anything. This life is not that hard. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. You want to marry again? You have taken the father's name to the altar, the mother's name to the altar, all the siblings. You have dropped their name on the altar. You drop it. Say, Pastor, step on it, step on it, step on it. step on it. You have carried that photograph everywhere. You have anointed that photograph. Now she now looks white. She was dark. Now she looks white. Been anointing. I claim her. No man will see her. No man will see her. They will be blind. Look at the prayer we are praying for innocent men. They will be blind. Or any man that sees her, the man will be blind. All eyes will be blind to her. That's witchcraft. Let her be. That's witchcraft. Let her be. Say, nobody will see her. Nobody. Until she come back to me. Imagine some prayer they pray. Say, I seize her peace. Ah! You are not a Christian. You are not a believer. Why would you seize the peace of somebody because he doesn't want to marry you? I seize her peace. I release her peace. I release her peace. Seize her peace. You don't force things. You don't kill yourself. Put yourself under pressure. You are in something that makes you angry, makes you cry, breaks you down. You want to stay there? You want to stay there? Let it go! They say I sound too harsh. But I'm being real to you. To help you. To help you. Our church, we deal with real issues. Real issues. I've been praying so much. I've been praying for 5 years over this man, and he will not look at my face. I said, please, first of all, the first thing you do is to change your prayer point. Father, my 5 wasted years restore. Stop praying because you wasted those 5 years. you wasted those. Just imagine what your life would have been 5 years praying for one man who is confused. His own mother saw his condition and didn't pray because the mother knows no prayer can change this boy. Everyone has stopped praying for him because it's a case. You are there. You have become his intercessor. You are praying. Father, I know he's going to Germany. All the eyes of women, I blind them. I blind them. I blind them. From Germany, Lord, he's going to France. Nobody will see him. So all his helpers, you have been blinding their eyes. All his helpers. So he's poor. He's stranded. He's suffering. Because you have been the intercessor against his life. You are blinding people. You are blinding people. Those that want to give him job because they are female, you blind them. Those that want to help him because they are female, you blind them. You have been blinding innocent people out of your selfishness. Let it go. Be happy. Because you have held on to this one for a long time. Even when those God has for you comes your way, you ignore them. You don't look at them. You don't care about them. These are people who came into your life with beauty. These are people who came into your life to restore your wasted years. You don't give them attention because you feel you have got someone that you choose for yourself, just like Saul. It wasn't God that brought Saul. It was the people of Israel. Give us a king like other nations once came. I have kings. And God gave them Saul. And Saul became an eyesore. God is not your problem. The Bible says he isolated himself. He did not relate with the man who had five. He didn't relate with the one. Isolation is a cancer. When the devil wants to destroy you, he isolates you. It makes you feel nobody likes you. And that's why we see the rise in suicide. People take their lives. Someone sent me a message. Say, Apostle, thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for being a nice man. Your words educate me. You are a blessing to me. But I know when you read this message, I'll be gone. You see, he prayed and said all that. So I kept quiet. I kept praying for him. After about 30 minutes, he forwarded the message to me again. After about 1 hour, he forwarded it to me because I didn't reply. After about another hour, he forwarded it. The next day, he forwarded it again. 2 days later, he said, Papa, did you see my message? And I said, see the one you said, you want to die? He said, yes. I want a reply from you before I die. So I called him up. I said, there are three things I need you to know. If you die now, you are going to hell. And God has not prepared your fire. You are going to be using somebody's fire, so that's robbery. Don't die now. You wait till your fire has been created. Since you have destined yourself to go to hell. Number two, just when your generation was about hearing your voice, you took your life. And I said, why do you want to die? They started telling me things. No job, no this. And there are people who have been jobless in America for years. And you see them, they smile. They're excited. You know, some of you, sometimes 1 month, 2 months, no job, and you ate well. You don't understand how. God sustained you. God kept you. Number three reason, and I'm going to pray. Number three thing that prevents profitability is a bad heart. When you hear this young man speak, you see his heart was a mess. Listen to me. If you like, give all you have. Empty your bank account. Give all your cars. Give your property. If you like, give money, give everything. If your heart is bad, you can't go far in life. Your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Your heart. From his life. I asked myself a question. How would this Lord know that this young man had a bad heart and yet gave him talent? God knows who we are, but always gives us opportunity to change. Opportunity to change. When he began to speak, talk to God, the first thing we see, he felt like he was doing God a favor. How do you know somebody has got a bad heart? He always thinks that people are shortchanging him. He feels victimized. He feels offended. You are always offended. You are always offended. Everybody you have met offended you. See, that's why I relocated from South Carolina. I relocated. I went to Texas. Trouble. I said, okay, let me come to California. I went to Las Vegas. They almost killed me. So that's, I went to Los Angeles, problem. So that's why I came to Oakland. I'm hiding.
I don't want trouble. What have you done? You see, a woman will tell, my husband is a devil. My husband is this. Okay, what about you? What have you done? Everybody offends you. Are you an egg? You are careful. Everyone offends you. This has done this. This has done that. Have you x-rayed your life? This young man felt. I've seen people who say, if this pastor gets me angry, I'll leave the church. We hear that all the time. They think when they come to a particular church, they are doing the man of God a favor. They think when they serve God, they are doing, you know, say, I'm tired of praying. I don't understand something and I need us to analyze it. Somebody say, I'm tired of praying. I'm not praying again. I don't understand. Were you praying for God or yourself? Have you seen anyone who goes on his knees and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, today I pray for Jesus. I know Jesus is going through a lot right now. Lord, I intercede for him. Oh, Lord God, help Jesus. Provide for Jesus. Sustain. You pray for yourself. So if you stop praying, you are undoing yourself. It's not God. If you stop serving God, you are undoing yourself. Not God. You need to correct your heart. The second thing we see about this young man, he kept talking. He said, let me say what's in my mind. He was addressing the master with arrogance. In other words, I need to say what is in my mind. In this kingdom, you don't say what is in your mind. You say what is in the word. You say what is in God's word. We follow scriptures here. In the kingdom, we follow this. We don't follow your opinion. Not what you think. The Bible says no scripture is of private interpretation. It is scriptures that interpret scriptures. Not what you think. We've got to follow what God is saying. We've got to follow what God is saying. What God is saying. Look at the way he painted the picture. He said, you know, you are a very hard man. People with bad hearts always make God appear horrible. Oh God, I have prayed, I have fasted. Lord, I've been waiting on you. I've always been crying, I've always been in church. Lord, look, my life is still like this. But you forgot the last time you were sick, he healed you. You didn't talk about that. You forgot when there was an attack, you almost had an accident, he rescued you. You didn't talk about that. You forgot you had a court case, he gave you victory. You're trying to make God look horrible, make God appear so horrible. You're trying to make God appear as somebody who is not a rewarder of them that diligently seeking God is a good God. It doesn't matter what you say or how you try to paint a picture. God is a good God and he has been merciful to you. The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never comes to an end. They are new morning by morning. Great is his faithfulness. Am I talking to somebody here? It doesn't matter what you say. God is a good God. It doesn't matter what you've been through. There was a time in your life he kept you. There was a time he preserved you. So no matter what you are going through now, that was what Job told his wife. When his wife said, curse God and die. Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. We have received good from God. Should we not be angry for receiving evil? God has given us good. He has caused his face to shine on us. Sometimes you are in a jet, you are in a plane, an aircraft, and there was this massive turbulence. It was not the weather or the climate. It was an attack from hell to make the plane crash, but because you were there, God sustained you. God kept you. He is a good God. I don't care what the devil is trying to lie to you about, what the devil is trying to tell you. God is a good God. He is a very present help in time of trouble. God is a good God. It doesn't matter what you're going through now. The troubles of life cannot stop the goodness of God. God is a good God. Be up on your feet. I need to pray for you. God is a good God. When things are going down and out, tell him, Lord, I know you are a good God. Stop accusing God.
Oh, Father, Lord, are you still alive?
Did you kill him?
Lord, are you still on the throne?
Did you dethrone him? He's a good God. I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy.
I still
have joy.
Oh, oh, oh.
I still have joy.
After all I've been through.
After all I've been through.
I
still have joy.
Oh, I still
have joy.
I still have joy.
I still have joy.
After all I've been through.
After all I've been through.
I still have joy.
I still have joy.
In our meetings, as we travel around the world with miracles, signs, wonders, the prophetic, if there's something I've tried to disperse to the people, is the love of God. In this kingdom, the greatest virtue is love. Is love. We are not following this God because of what we want Him to do for us. We are following Him because we love Him. If you want to see the supernatural, mind-blowing miracles, you want to see great manifestation, it's on the premise of love, not fasting. It's good to fast. I'm a fasting machine. Hey. You see the way I look? He's fasting, no? If you see my dad, he's big. If you see me like this, he's fasting. Hey! I fast. I pray a lot. But sir, I do all that on the platform of love. Not because I want anointing. No, I just wait on Him because I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. Doing vigils because you are expecting a job. No, sir. You do vigils. Do vigils. When is the interview? Say Friday. Oh, I'm not sleeping tonight. It is war. War. So tonight is war. God must hear me. I will trouble heaven. So what time is the job? Say 9 a.m. From 6 a.m. I will anoint my head, my hair, my ear. I will anoint everywhere. I will anoint my tongue. And when they see the oil on my head, they say, come and resume on Monday. Does it work like that? Just love the Lord. Love Him. Love Him. And that is what we are going to ask the Lord today. Lord, give me a heart of service. I love you. I want to serve you. Give me a heart of service. A heart of service. You must understand what it means to serve. You become great naturally when you are serving. Naturally. You become great. I mean, I go to places today. I was in the Federal Capital Territory. I sat down. And in less than 1 hour, the powers that be in the country were coming and going out of my room. Coming, going out, coming. A young man who sat with me was like, He took numbers of almost 4 governors. He took numbers of ministers. He said, Just like that. I said, what? See, these are people you go to their office. Weeks and weeks, you can't see them. I said, no, meet them. Ask them anything you want. I sat down. This comes. This leaves. This comes for advice, counsel. This comes for prayer and the go. And I just keep watching. I'm not desiring those things. Yeah. There are some of you here who have told me many times, I'd like to meet this person. I said, I don't want it. I just love him. Bishop Vincent is gone. Okay. We're in Liberia. We're having a crusade in Liberia. And I told them nobody should see me. I want to pray. And I was told that the vice president and Apostle Vincent came to my door and said, sir, the vice president he came upstairs. Apostle V said, knelt down by the door. He said, Papa, please. I said, now let me ask you a question. If that man comes up, what about all the poor people? What conscience do I have? Tell him to go.
If God said the seed will come my way, it will come. If God said it won't come, it won't come. Let it go. He went back. Throughout that day, he didn't say a word to me on the altar. He was just quiet. I got back to the hotel. Sorry, I want to ask, who are you? Oh, yes, a vice president. So I'm not desiring to meet. If God brings anyone, oh, praise God. But that's not my pursuit. I'm not going to cut corners or try to play games or try, you know, to attend some meetings or do some things. There was an inauguration, right? I was to inaugurate an African president. I was to lay hands on him. And the first inauguration on a Sunday. I was to lay hands on him, president. Thousands gathered. I was to be there. I called him, sir, I have Sunday service. He said, if you miss one Sunday, you preach there. When you come, you preach. I said, no, it's not like my church. I have a law. I have to preach. You know, he's not talking to me today. He doesn't talk to me. He blocked my number. And I said, no problem, sir. But I cannot sacrifice my service. I said, office come and go. Ministry remains. So if you cannot move it to Monday, don't expect me to move my own service. You move your own to Monday. He said, no, that's Sunday. Some people are traveling back. I said, meaning you want me to sacrifice myself for you, sir? I won't do it. There are many men of God, many pastors who will scream and will be happy. Get them. Many pastors will jump. Oh, they are laying hands on president. Get all the paparazzi, take pictures and put it on Facebook and social media to hide themselves. I don't need it. I just want to follow this God. I want to love this God. I want to keep loving it. Give me a heart of service. Oh God, give me a heart of service. Give me a heart of service. Give me a heart of service. Give me a heart to serve you, to love you, to follow you. I need a heart of service. A heart of service. Bring I wrote something. The Lord spoke to me this afternoon and said I should pray. There are some of you, the Lord told me, who are hurting because you've met people, or you met people, and their actions left a scar. Even when you try to forget, it keeps coming back.
Yes, sir.
God, I should pray for you. Come forward if you're in that category. You are hurting till now. We're going to let all that go. Even when you try to forget, you try to forget about it, it keeps coming. Your heart is heavy. You are unhappy, not happy. The Lord said, tell them to come drop it at the altar. Come drop it at the feet of the Master. So you, that heaviness be lifted. So you can just flow in the Spirit. And you can begin to live a new life where the heaviness is gone. He said, take my yoke upon thee, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. It's light. His burden is light. You are going to tell the Lord, you drop that hurt. You drop that heaviness today. Drop it. Drop it. Let it go. You are going to say to the Lord, Father, today I let go. I let go. I let go. I let go. I let go and I let God. 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 I surrender all to you. Everything I give
to you.
Withholding nothing.
I surrender all.
I surrender.
everything.
Everything
I give to you.
Withholding nothing.
I surrender all to you.
Everything I give to you.
We hold nothing.
I decree that this season, the Lord heals your heart. The heaviness is gone. The burdens are rolled away. It's a new beginning. The Lord will bring someone and bring something that will fill that vacuum. And the next 1 month is a new life altogether. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You can return back to your seat. Hello. Come. Yes. I see celebration coming. Yeah. I don't know, I'm seeing a letter NW. Okay. Wonka. Eh?
Wonka is my last name. NWOKA.
That's your last name.
Mm-hmm.
Come here. No tropa secret in Mahata Boroto Sakrapa. The Lord said, I should tell you. That all the days, minutes, hours, years, that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust has eaten, he said, is going to restore.
Yeah.
You begin to enjoy restoration.
Yeah.
You begin to walk in restoration. Something is going to happen this year that will make the family gather for your sake.
Yeah.
A celebration is coming.
Yeah.
A celebration. He said to tell you that this is a new season in your life where God is going to help you. Come. Spirit of God. Restore. Touch. Restore. Who is Tina? T. I say letter D. I see letter D. Lift your hands. Soprata krata shada bakadas. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is a sinner? A sinner. What is that? Yeah. A sinner, come. Bleko sho barata gase ke proto. Who's a wearer? What is rose? Rose Ewere. Is you? Come here. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I have 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. When you heal completely.
be more. You see, Pendule.
We say.
Shall I render
to Jehovah?
To Jehovah,
for He has done,
for He has done so very much for me.
What shall I render?
What shall I render
to Jehovah?
To Jehovah,
for He has done,
for He has done so very much for me.
The lady with glasses. Who is in John Hopkins? Who is in John Hopkins Hospital? Your twin brother is in John Hopkins. What's Okezie? Okezie. Okezie. Is that his name? Okezie. Come, come. You, the twin. The twin, come. The twin, come. Is in John Hopkins now.
Yeah, the hospital.
Come. That's the hospital he's in now. Is your twin?
Yeah.
Come. We want to send the anointing. We want to pass through you.
Amen.
It's going to pass through you. There's going to be a release of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can't handle a spiritual matter medically.
Amen.
You will compound it.
Yes,
you will compound it. When you're trying to handle a spiritual matter medically, put your hands on mine, both of them. Father, I agree with her. By your stripes we are healed. We ask this anointing extend to the twin brother. Make him whole. Make him whole. Holy Spirit, touch and make him whole. Jesus name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Kalataso paradas.
And you are
cousin? My cousin.
Okay, cousin.
Yeah.
We cancel the intention of hell in this family. The Bible says it disappoints the device of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. I'm not a prophet of bad news. When I was younger in the prophetic, I would prophesy negative everything the way it comes. It was bad. If you get my tapes of 2004, 2005, you can't watch it. It's horrible. Sometimes I don't want to see them. Let me give you a scenario. I was ministering, walking through the crowd, and I picked out a man. I said, please, your secretary in the office, stop sleeping with her. I said, this is what she's called, this is where you'd walk, this. And the wife was standing. I said, madam. I said, you, leave your boss. Leave your boss alone. Okay, what have I done? You've destroyed the marriage. But now I would do it better. I would go around it, say things around it. What I'm saying about this, I will not, what the enemy intended will go back to them.
Amen.
I'm saying that concerning mommy here, that the counsel of the enemy, you have a good heart, ma. You are a good woman. What I see, I'm seeing books open, and I'm asking God, what is God saying? This is how our heart is, open book. That's how your heart is. And that, she's good. That is what is speaking for you. And God, you put your ears down, you are going to hear it. You get a call. They will tell you, this person just dropped. Now, that is what was intended for you. It just happened to them. It's not, we didn't say that. The Bible says it clearly. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. He that digs a pit shall fall into it. That's the counsel of God. Anywhere you have been summoned in the realms of the spirit, the counsel of the enemies over your life is frustrated.
You will fulfill the plan and purpose of God. You fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. You begin to walk in wonders, in signs, and in miracles. Your life will become a testimony. I say it will become a testimony. It will become a testimony. It will become a testimony. Kobarazada kashanda barataka. Lem priso kotoli krati baradi seke proto sapati la resta. The Lord said, I should say to 64 persons here. I hear this on my left ears. He said to tell you that he will pay you arrears. Listen, whether I've called your name, I called your name, or I called where you live, or I didn't. This one is a general prophecy. So if you have been here the first, second, third, you are saying, this man has not called me. I'm giving this general prophecy. You will get arrears. All you've lost in the past, Jesus will restore them. And you begin to walk in that rest and fullness. Wherever you are, begin to wave your hands to him. Wave it. Mommy, come. Wave it. Father, we thank you for preservation. Preservation. Kolabrasatas. Preservation. Come. Preservation.
Your love is kind. Your love is
where's your father?
Your love.
Why am I seeing a distance? This man is apart. Wait. Who knows this lady? Oh, she washes here? Atagra. Where's your husband?
Japan.
He's in Japan.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing the language. I'm hearing chon chon chin chon chon. This crisis will end. There's a problem. This crisis will end.
Amen.
Can I lay my hands on you? The baby. Don't worry, you'll be fine. She's telling me about a child that he has a challenge. Father, let him be healed.
Amen.
We speak grace upon your husband.
Amen.
We decree the God that keeps will keep you together.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You fill my heart. With so much peace and joy.
So much peace and joy.
You are amazing.
You're amazing.
You make my life.
You make my life feel brand new. And your promise is I am.
And amen. You're not a man, you never lie.
Jesus, you
love me too much,
oh. Too much, oh, that's that love, oh.
Jesus, you love me.
Jesus,
you love me
too much, oh. Brother, I want to ask you a question. The blessing I've seen that's coming, can you carry it? You love God so much. There's a blessing coming. There's an overflow of blessing. Where is the child?
Come. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of all grace. The God of all grace. Touch this child. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak the blessing of God upon your life. And overflow. Just wave your hands to the mask. With your hands with the master. In the name of Jesus.
Greater Works 2020 comes to Germany. Join me from everywhere, any part of Europe, Belgium, you live in Holland, anywhere in Paris.
Preparing to get admission. Tell our success is already released.
Now, let me say something to you. And I want to repeat this. 64 persons. The Lord said. You see, there are things you've actually forgotten about. You felt you've lost it. The Lord said, no. It will pay you arrears. There is a restoration about to hit you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. As the rich called for his sacrifice.
Greater Works 2020 comes to Germany. Join me from everywhere, any part of Europe, Belgium, you live in Holland, anywhere in Paris. Make your way down to Germany as we converge in Munich for 2 days of mind-blowing manifestation. There will be the release of the prophetic. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak.